Good morning.
Good morning,
and a very warm welcome to worship this morning at Water Lane. I'd like to extend a particularly warm greeting to anybody who's joining us for the first time or a visitor. Please do stay for coffee afterwards. I can vouch for the quality of the biscuits because I've brought my Christmas surplus. I obviously didn't really need them. So you'll be saving me from myself. Also, send our greetings to those from Carr's Court who we know like to listen to the service recording. A couple of notices to bring to your attention. A few things going on today. At 3:30, we've got songs of praise in the coffee lounge. This evening at 7:30, we've got the film club, which will be screening Churchill. Not to be confused with the film about Churchill that's on in the cinemas at the moment. But we've also got the new programme is released that takes us up to August. So there's a flyer in the foyer if you want to know what's coming up as well. One other thing I've been asked to mention is the mindfulness and spirituality course that Katie is thinking of running in coming weeks. It's a rerun of a course that was done a few months ago. You'll have heard about mindfulness in the press. It's something that the NHS are often offering for stress and anxiety and other things. Obviously, this will have a Christianity element as well, but if you're interested in knowing more details, please have a word with Katie, and she's thinking of running that soon. And finally, before the intro from the choir, I'd like to welcome Louise Goff, who will be leaving our service this morning. We look forward to your words. Thank you.
Let us pray. Living God, we've gathered in this place to worship you, to open our hearts to you, to bring you our praise and our prayers. And we know that you meet us here as you meet us everywhere. But may this be a time for you and for us. Amen. We're going to sing our first song, a song of worship. And if you're following from the book, it's 363, but all the words are on the screen. My Jesus, my Saviour.
My Jesus, my Savior.
going to say our prayers and I'm going to need your assistance. So when I say the words, you are always with us. Can you respond? And we praise you. You are always with us and we praise you. Let us pray. Wonderful God, far beyond what our minds can know, too close for our eyes to see, you are deep inside us and all around us. You are like the air we breathe and the skin that wraps us close. We exist because of your love. You are always with us. And we praise you. You are our companion in the great adventure of life. You are the one who knows us through and through. From the very beginning, you have watched over us with love. And sometimes when we least expect it, but most need it, we feel you near. We know your warmth, and it's like a welcome hug. You are always with us, and we praise you. You are the one who stays by our side and lifts us up when we're sad. You are the giver of better gifts than we could ever dream of, and you have plans to bless us beyond all we can imagine. You are always with us, and we praise you. Faithful God, you are with us as we worship you now. Take from us all that weighs us down. Take our burdens and our regrets, our sorrow and our sense of sinfulness. Hear us as we open our hearts to you, knowing that we can trust you to see what we'd rather hide and to love us anyway. Loving God, thank you that with you there is always forgiveness. Help us to know ourselves free as we offer our hearts and lives in thankfulness. And in our worship and our thanksgiving, we offer Jesus' own prayer, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, I was very, very interested to hear that biscuit sharing goes on in this church. That's a very, very useful thing indeed. I might have to bear that in mind because in my house I have got a chocolate mountain. It's a chocolate mountain, and I'm very, very grateful to my church members. I suspect they're trying to kill me, if you can believe what the medics say about all that sugar. But I do have quite an enormous chocolate mountain at home. I've put it all in the spare room, and I've covered it over with a towel. And I'm going to try and make it last a while, because I know what happens. As soon as that box is open, you know, it's empty, isn't it? Yeah, it's just very easy to do, especially this time of year. The funny thing is, I actually needed some chocolate this morning to come to Wilmslow with, but it wasn't the variety that I had a mountain of. So I had to buy some more. So I hope that you'll help me with it this morning, because I need your help anyway, because I've got I've got two boxes of chocolates here. Not the biggest boxes in the world, so that's not so bad. I tend to go for the biggest ones I can get my hands on. Let's get opening. Has anybody else got a chocolate mountain, or is it just me? Has it already gone? Yeah. Oh. You'd think I'd be an expert at opening these things, wouldn't you, really? You'd think that I would. Yeah. Oh, there, I'm in now. Right. This is going to test your knowledge of this stuff. I don't know whether all the children here, are you allowed to have chocolate? Or has anybody got any problems that I don't know about? Any allergies? I'm so sorry if you have allergies. I didn't bring a non-chocolate alternative. I thought about it too late. So I'm very sorry if anybody feels left out. You can report me to the superintendent after. But does somebody want to come and take a chocolate? Do you want to come and take a chocolate? Oh, brilliant. Right. What have you got there? What have you got there? What is it? It's called... I'll give you one in a minute. Thank you. I will definitely give you one. Don't cry. Oh, dear. I'm not... Anyway, this is a galaxy. I will give you one in a minute. You're next on the list, I promise you. You can have two. Right. This is a galaxy. Can anyone tell me what's in? What will you find if you open this? Chocolate. That's it. You find chocolate. Well done. Thank you. That's for you. Right. Come and pull out. You can choose from either box. There you go. What have you got there? What have you got there? What's it called? It's called a Snickers. Oh. Can anybody tell me what you find in here? Nuts. Chocolates. Caramel. I think that about covers it, doesn't it? Nuts, chocolate, and caramel. Would you like another one? Because you got shouted at, didn't you? Right, let's have a look. Oh, it's the same. Can you find a different one? Oh, brilliant. What you got here? We've got a bounty. Can anyone tell me what's in a bounty? Coconuts and chocolate. Fantastic. There you go. Right, I've got plenty in here. So, you can choose from either box. Try another one. Brilliant. Thank you. So, what we got here, thank you, you can have that one. We have got a Twix. Can anyone tell me what's in a Twix? Biscuit, yeah? There's no nuts in a Twix. There's caramel, that's it. And chocolate, that's it. You can have another one in a minute. Does anyone else want to come and have a go? You can choose from either box.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So what you've got there? You've got a Mars bar. Can anyone tell me what's in a Mars bar?
Caramel and chocolate.
Caramel and chocolate and... Multi stuff, nuggety stuff, isn't it? That's right. There you go. Would you like to choose one from anywhere you like? Oh, that's great. We've got another bounty. So a quick revision. Coconut and chocolate. Well done. Thank you. Does anybody want to come and... There's plenty left. Do you want to come and choose one? Oh, brilliant. What you got there? Oh, we've got something different this time. Whoops, sorry. I'm throwing it on the floor. I think the clue is actually in the title. We've got a Cadbury's caramel here. What's in that? Yeah? Chocolate and caramel. Well done, that's right. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, yeah. This one is a Cadbury's Twisted. I'm not going to tell you what else it says. Can you tell me what's in this one? No? I think it came from over here. Cream egg. That's it. Cream egg flavour filling and chocolate. There you go. You two have got one. Do you want to take another one? What's it? Oh, this is good. We have a Milky Way. Anybody? It's hard to describe, isn't it? It's hard to describe. It's like milky stuff, isn't it? Milky mulch, shall we call it that? Milky mulch and chocolate. Was that one yours? Try on this box.
Okay.
Try one for more. Oh, there, I didn't see those. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Right, we've got a fudge. The clue's in the title. Fudge and chocolate, that's it. Right. Oh, that's good. We have another galaxy, which is, and a fudge, which is fudge. What about one of those? What's in one of those? A whisper is like chocolate, but it's like aerated chocolate, isn't it? So that's good. And, what about one of these? A Malteser? Yeah. What we got in there? So, yeah, Maltesers, kind of biscuits, and chocolate. Do you not like caramel? You can do what you like. Yeah. That's it. It's another Malteser one. I think, do you think that concludes our chocolate research? Do you think that concludes our chocolate? No. There's plenty here. If you've only had one and you want to, I'll leave them by the door on the way out, so you can take what you like, because I don't need any more of these types of things. You need a second one, don't you? That's all right. I don't want to cause any problems, so there's plenty anyway. If you're little and you've only had one and you want to, there's plenty. But that is our chocolate research. So in all of these in here, you've got lots of different ingredients, haven't you? You've got some with nuts, some with caramel, some with kind of unidentified kind of sweet stuff in the middle, some with biscuits, some with cream egg, lots of different ingredients that goes to making all of these, lots of variety. But they've all got something in common, haven't they? What have they got in common?
Chocolate.
Because that is the best bit. That's why they've all got chocolate, because that is the best bit. The chocolate is the best bit. They've all got chocolate in common. And in a sense, a church is a bit like a funny box of chocolates, isn't it? Because we're all different. There are lots of varieties of us. No two of us are the same. We're all made up of a different mix of ingredients, if you like, different personalities and different gifts. We all like to do different things. But we've got one thing in common, and that's that God loves every single one of us. Even though we're all different in church, we're all made by God and loved by God, and that's what makes us all the same. It doesn't matter whether we're a really weird one, like a twisted, like a cream egg, or a fairly standard one that's been around for years. God loves us all exactly the same, and God's love is what we have in common. I thought I'd take the cue from the next song, from this A Box of Celebrations, because the song is Come On and Celebrate. It should be In My House, Come On and Eat a Celebration, but it's Come On and Celebrate. And I'll leave these by the door, so if the children want to take them on the way out, that's fine. I'm sorry if you're a responsible parent.
And save us, Lord, and shout.
Now we're going to make our offering. Living God, you are the source of all life and all love and every good thing. And in gratitude for our love for you, for your love for us, we offer you ourselves and we offer you these gifts that your love might be made known in our world. Amen. And we're going to ask God's blessing on the younger ones as they go out. Living God, thank you that you love us all the same. And thank you for your love for all of us of every age. But we ask your special blessing on the young people this morning, that they might be inspired and enjoy themselves together and know more of your love. Amen. Hope you have lots of fun.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 3 to 6. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning is taken from John chapter 1, starting to read from verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Amen.
We're going to sing the hymn, "Help Us, O Lord, to Learn." You probably know how it is. You're walking along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden you see something out of the corner of your eye, and you think, "Hang on a minute, that's strange." So you back up a few steps and have another look. Well, that happened to me one January. I was walking past a school playground, and I don't think that the children were back in school yet, so it was all quiet. And I happened to notice through the railings on the floor some strange things. I spotted a carrot and a hat. I thought, a carrot and a hat? What are they doing on the school playgrounds? And then the light dawned. You know what it was, don't you? It was a snowman. It was a snowman. We'd had some heavy snow that year, and obviously the children had been out in the playground making a snowman, and over Christmas it had melted, and this was all that remained. So that's what happens when you have a snowman. It doesn't last. But there was quite a lot of snow where my family live in the West Midlands just before Christmas. It's always strange, isn't it, when you see news reports and some places are absolutely cut off and it's a blizzard and everything's impassable. And where you are, there's nothing at all. It's always strange. But my nephew built a snowman, and I've got a picture of him just there. That's my nephew with his snowman. He's nine. He's into everything. And my sister then posted some pictures of what happened afterwards. So, it looks a bit like that. And then there's another one as well. Looks a bit like that. And it's strangely resonant, I thought. It was just before Christmas, and I was feeling a bit like that. So that just caught my imagination. I thought, I know how that snowman feels. After Christmas, there's very, very little left of your minister, whoever they are. But seeing the carrots and the hats, it made me think that if you melted us down, what would be left? So the question really is, what is the most important thing about us? And maybe it's a good time to think about that, because we're between the covenant service, where we give ourselves to God and promise to live for God alone, and we're nearly on the week of prayer for Christian unity. And I don't know whether you do anything in this area about that, but it's 8 days of prayer where Christians pray together and for one another across all the denominations. And that's when we remember that we're part of a wider, diverse church. I did go to an ecumenical lunch the other day, and I said, oh, I'm going to an ecumenical lunch. And someone said, are you going to spit in the Anglican soup? And I said, no, that's not what it's about. We are about working together, but sometimes, you know, it's tempting when you get offended, but I've never done it. They've probably done it to me. But it's good to work together. We're part of a wider church, and we give ourselves to God. But those two things, the covenant and remembering that we're part of a wide church, makes us ask, well, what are we really made of? What is the most important thing about us? What is the substance of our faith? And still thinking about the week of prayer for Christian unity, I think that if you melted down a Methodist, if you melted all of us away and we were just left with the debris, I wonder if you'd find a hymn book, or maybe just a clicker for the PowerPoint these days, a cup of tea and a set of minutes. But I think that if you melted down our faith, it would be important to leave behind two very important things, not a carrot and a hat, but a love for Jesus and a call to follow him by revealing him to others. A love for Jesus and a call to follow. And I think both those things are in the passage that we heard from John's Gospel. And to my mind, small mind, John's Gospel is always a bit hard to understand. It takes some fathoming out and some decoding sometimes. But I think that if you melt down the passage that we heard, we'd be left with a love for Jesus and a call to follow him and reveal him to others. You see, the first thing that we need as Christian people is a love for Jesus. When I was growing up, every year we used to have our holidays in Weston-super-Mare. Has anybody ever been? You have. It's a wonderful place. I've been back a few times. Went back a few times when I lived in South Wales and rediscovered all the haunts, and it was wonderful. But one of our favourite things to do, was walking along the prom in the evening. We must have gone most nights and just had a walk along the prom, except when I was roller skating along the prom. That was even better. But quite often, when I didn't have the skates, we'd take in all of those shops along the seafront on the other side of the road, the kind of shops that sell all the holiday tat, the souvenir mugs, the funny little items, the little cheap things that appeal to children with their pocket money, all kinds of pictures and hats and postcards and T-shirts, and not all of them related to Western. And I can remember seeing some T-shirts with pictures of cute pets on. I like cute pets. And there was a picture of a really puppy-eyed puppy dog on one of these T-shirts. And there'd be a slogan, "To know me is to love me." It wasn't a good T-shirt. Didn't get one. But I think it is quite a good slogan. To know Jesus is to love Jesus. I think that helps us to understand the passage. And in the passage, John the Baptist is the one who knows Jesus. And I'm always amazed when I remember that this is actually in chapter 1 in John's Gospel. And that's the chapter that tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And he's the light that shines in the darkness that no darkness can quench. And all things come into being through him. And that he comes in flesh to make us the children of God. And that we have seen his glory. No one has seen God, but God's Son has come to make God known. And the passage tells us that there was a man sent by God who was John. And he came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe. And so soon into John's Gospel, after we heard those amazing, amazing words, we actually see John the Baptist testifying to the light. And he sees Jesus and he says, "This is the one. This is the one who embodies all those things in that incredible passage at the beginning of the Gospel. Jesus is the Son of God. He's come to show us God, to live beside us, to begin a new age of the Spirit, where people are set free from what he calls the sins of the world. This is the one," says John the Baptist. He testifies to the light. And then Andrew and Simon Peter meet Jesus as well. And they're so convinced that he's the one that they leave John the Baptist. They were John the Baptist's disciples, first of all. They leave John the Baptist and they follow Jesus instead. To know Jesus is to love him. They saw something in him. They loved him enough to follow. And what we've got in common as Christians is that we've all been captivated by Jesus. We've encountered him, and something in that encounter has prompted us to love him and to give our lives to him. We stay with him, we follow him, we serve him, we get to know him better. And we've done this because in Jesus we've discovered the joy and the freedom of knowing that we loved. We found the light that shines even through the darkest times, and the security of knowing that that light of Jesus will never go out, because in Jesus love never fails. And we know this because Jesus went through the most profound suffering on the cross, and then there was the resurrection to show us that love never fails, love always wins. And in Jesus we've found that love. we've found welcome and acceptance and forgiveness and hope, encouragement and friendship, and a lifelong companion who never fails us and who never fails to surprise us. And the more we discover about Jesus, the more we find to love. The more we know Jesus, the more we love him. And that love for Jesus is at the heart of our faith. It's what we've got in common. It's what binds us all together. That love is at the heart of our faith. And if you melted us down, that is what you would find. But we've also got a call to follow Jesus. And this passage from John's Gospel is really John's version of the call of the first disciples. It's slightly different in every Gospel. It's different how the disciples are called in Matthew, Mark and Luke. But that's okay, because the outcome is the same. And these disciples end up being the ones who follow Jesus. They learn from him and they spend their lives telling others about him. And in this passage, we're given a clue about what we're supposed to do when we've worked out who Jesus is and when we love him. We're called to reveal him to others. And that's the role that John the Baptist does. And he does it brilliantly. We've already heard. He says, there's Jesus and he's the one. And he encourages them to follow Jesus instead. He points to Jesus. He makes Jesus known. That's the other thing that's left when you melt us down. Our calling to follow Jesus and reveal him to others. There are all sorts of ways that we can reveal God's love and point to Jesus. And some seem to have a special gift for evangelism and a ministry of telling others about Jesus. And that can seem a bit scary sometimes to some of us. We might feel that others don't want to know, but we might be surprised. But we're all called to reveal Jesus, and we can do it in all sorts of ways. We can do it through the way we live and by the love we show. And wouldn't it be great if people knew we were Christians just by looking at us and the way we relate to others and the things that we do? Wouldn't it be great if we were identified as God's by our ability to love others? I often wonder if someone came into our church at any time, just on spec, would they find us loving one another, or would they find us having a little bicker, or you know, because that happens a lot in churches, would they find us sort of having a little bit of a disagreement and maybe not handling it very well? These things happen. I suppose you can bicker and still love someone, but it's better if you don't bicker. We can choose to do everything in a way that reveals Jesus through our lives. I'm sure this will come to you through the mindfulness things that Katie will do with you, that it just takes awareness. We can stand back and we can choose how we're going to respond and choose to react and behave lovingly. And perhaps the more we're aware and the more we do it, the more it becomes a habit. I hope that'll work for me anyway. I do love being part of church, and I don't know where I'd be without it. Currently I'd be homeless and jobless. But I do sometimes think that we forget who and what the church is for. We can think that it's for us, but it's not. The church is for the people who don't belong to it yet. We exist for the people who aren't here. We need to meet together, we need to worship, we need to do all those things which build up our fellowship. But if we end it there, we've missed the point. We're not a private club. We do strengthen our relationship with God and with each other while we're here. But that's so that we can do the work of showing God's love to those who are outside the church. And Jesus' ministry was always to people who were outside religion, to the ones who'd fallen through the net, who needed to know that they were loved by God and who needed to belong. And at first, the religious leaders felt left out. What's Jesus doing, eating with the tax collectors and the sinners and the outcasts and the prostitutes? Why isn't he bothering with us? And Jesus said, the healthy don't need a doctor. But soon the religious people were wishing he was leaving them alone, because Jesus started to be critical of them for being exclusive and for making it hard for people outside their organisation to learn about God's love. And that makes me uncomfortable sometimes, because I wonder what he'd say about me and about us. We're the servants that Isaiah talks about, who are charged to bring God's light, that light that comes into the world that the darkness will never overcome. That freedom of being set free from that comes from knowing that we're loved by God. We're charged to share that light. And it's reassuring that the servant Isaiah talks about, who was charged with that task, found it too much at times. They found that they'd given it all they'd got, and they still didn't seem to be getting anywhere. And that again resonates with some of my experiences in church. We can feel like that. We are called to a huge task, but we're never really going to see the fruits of our faithfulness and our following. We just have to keep doing it and trusting in God. We have to do our best day by day to live in God's love and reflect that love and light for others. And we start by loving Jesus and by recognising that he calls us to follow him and to show others his light and his love. And those are the bare essentials when all the rest has melted away. Don't worry though, it might be hard, but we've still got the carrot and the hat. And the carrot is God's encouragement. God doesn't wave a stick at us to get us on track. God encourages us with the carrot of love and grace and patience and forgiveness and God's own belief in us. God wants the best for us and for the world. So we have the carrot of God's encouragement. I don't know about you, but I react much better to carrots than sticks. I might have mentioned this before, but when I lived in Cardiff, I tried for 7 years to learn how to ride a horse. That was my childhood ambition. Every Friday night, my night off, I'd be down at Cardiff Riding School trying to ride a horse. And I was the adult in a class of children. And I was really bad. But I know that I did my best in the lessons where the instructors were encouraging. Some of them shouted at me for doing it wrong. Well, I suppose it was a matter of life and death. It is quite dangerous on the back of a horse. But the instructors who said, well done, you're doing well, but can you just try it like this? Well, that made me want to carry on and not give up. God gives us the carrot of encouragement. God says, well done, carry on, but just maybe try it a bit like this. God encourages us in our Christian lives and in our discipleship. God is our cheerleader, the one who's constantly rooting for us, especially when we're doing God's work. And perhaps in churches we can be better cheerleaders of one another. And we also know the hats. We have the hats of God's love. I'm a fairly recent convert to hats. They always look ridiculous on me, but I haven't got much hair and it's cold. I'm grateful for the warmth and the protection of a hat I was grateful for the protection of a hat when I was trying to ride a horse. I discovered years after riding a bike that I was wearing my helmet back to front. Fortunately, I never fell off. It's good to have the protection and the warmth of a hat. And when we're following Jesus, when we're doing our best to serve and love God and revealing God's love to others, we do have the hat of God's love warming us, containing us, always present, and so very close to us, like our second skin. So with the carrot of God's encouragement and the hat of God's love, let's do our best to give ourselves to what really matters, loving Jesus and following him by revealing his love and his light to everyone. And may God bless us with encouragement and the warmth of love, whoever we are and whoever, however we serve. Amen. And I've just finished with a short prayer. Living Jesus, your urgent call echoes through the centuries and speaks to our hearts, captivating and transforming us as it did your first disciples. Follow me. Give us the courage to tread the path of discipleship, living beside you, learning from you, suffering with you, doing the things you do, becoming like you, until your loving ways are a reality on earth. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn, Lord, You Call Us to Your Service. Say our prayers for others. So let us pray. loving God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus and for all that he shows us of your love and compassion. And we pray that you'll kindle in us a desire to get to know him better, that we'll know him as our constant companion, always by our side, giving us strength, giving us encouragement, showing us new ways to live and love and care. We pray, God, for the work of this church and all who are involved, that through it all, we and others might learn of your great love in Jesus, your strength through times of difficulty, and that your love never fails. We pray that you'll build us up in our spiritual lives, that we might overflow with love for others, and that those who see us might see you. God, we pray for all the activities that we do here and the ways that we encounter others. And we pray that we might share your love in these simple ways and in the way we relate to others. And as we go about our daily lives, make us mindful of the encounters we have and show us new ways to share your love. God, we pray for the church at the difficult time when so few seem interested in going to church and learning of your love. And pray that you might help us to find new ways to share your love with all. Help us to be encouraged and give us the confidence that we need. Show us the things that we might do. God, we know that you walk in this world and that you are beside all those who struggle and suffer. And we pray for all those who are going through very difficult and testing times. We pray for those who are ill or anxious, those who have had worrying news about their health or the health of loved ones. And we pray for those who are bereaved, especially those suffering from grief and shock. God, we know that you come alongside each hurting person and that you minister your love and care. Be beside all those who are worried, all those who feel lonely, and all those nursing pain and anxiety that others rarely see. And God, we ask for your help as we try to live as citizens of this world. Help us to find ways of turning the horrors that we hear about in the news into prayer. We pray for the relationships between nations, that there might be respect and understanding. We pray for those countries which are vulnerable and those who have been turned upside down by natural disaster and by war. We know that you share the pain with all those who suffer, and that you dwell in us and in our world. And in a moment of quiet, we offer you our own prayers for ourselves and for others, trusting that you hear us and that you understand. Living God, help us in our covenant pledge to live for you alone. And may we know your presence with us and with all those for whom we pray. Amen. Going to sing our last hymn, and it's Eternal God, your love's tremendous glory cascades through life in overflowing grace. May the blessing of God, the Creator, Son and Spirit, be with us, inspire us and fill us this day and always. Amen.